You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, me, Richard Lannan. But you knew that. I hope you knew that. We're going to continue our journey, the journey that we have been taking for a while now, and to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time. So we uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create the success that you deserve. And don't you deserve to be successful? I think you do. Here's a Set for Success quote for you today. And I was looking at some online, and this one sort of popped out at me. When I sit down to write a book, I do not say to myself, I'm going to produce a work of art. I write it because there is one lie that I want to expose, some facts to which I want to draw attention to, and my initial concern is about getting heard. George Orwell wrote that. Now, if you don't know who George Orwell is or was, or he was an English novelist, journalist, and critic who worked focused on social injustice, opposition to totalitarianism, and outspoken support of democratic socialism or social democracy. His real name is Eric Arthur Blair, and he was around from 1903 to about 1950, and you might know him more famously for the book 1984. Everyone has a book in them, and I believe this totally, right? I meet people all the time for the fact that I do interviews on this show, Set for Success. I provide business training. I do strategic planning for small to mid-level businesses, and for all the people I encounter, they all have a story, a life story, a journey they have taken to get to where they are today, with many peaks, valleys, and detours along the way. And I suspect you've had some peaks, valleys, and detours in your life, too. And I can guarantee you they have experienced the good, the bad, and surprisingly, the unexpected. Interestingly, I often hear some common statements or questions, and that is to say, I should write a book, or Richard, how did you write your book? And then I tell them that I worked with a writing coach. Yep, I actually had some help along the way to do it. Someone who brought me through a process to put pen to paper and to get it published. Now, it is one thing to talk about the process, but I think the better conversation is also to discuss the people helped and the stories they wrote from a writing coach's own perspective. And this is why I'm honored today to have Les Klecky on my show. Les, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. Great to be here.
You know, Les, I got to say, I always love your name, okay? So I like, it's Klecky, it's K-L-E-T-K-E, Klecky. And there's these K's that jump out at you. Could you just tell me a little bit about the history of your name?
Well, the first thing is that we were so poor, we couldn't afford any silent letters. So you got to say all the letters. It's Klecky. That's the way it is. And I think that there was one family that escaped Poland, so all the Kleckys in Canada at this time, I'm probably related to them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's just the way it is. German ancestry and the borders changed. My grandfather never moved, but left from Poland, came to Manitoba in 1898, and here we are.
Yeah, a lot of people came to Canada around that time, that 1750 to 1900 or 1700s to 1900s, no matter what part of the country you were from, right?
Well, when you say 1900, that was a really special date in my family because my dad was the first one born here, and he was born in 1900.
Oh, right on.
So
right
Grandpa on. Came over, worked for a while, saved up enough dough to send for his wife and the older kids. And then my dad was the first one born here.
Born here. Wow. And that's really, I didn't know that history about you. And I've known you for a while, so obviously I've worked with you and stuff. You know, Les, why don't we kick off by really talking about, before we talk about the interesting people you've worked with and what they've published, what a writing coach is. Let's sort of define that for people first so they understand what we're talking about.
My view of what a writing coach is that I bring a system to the client to help them write their book and then sort of develop into a conscience that they know I'm going to phone them every Thursday morning, so they just sit down and write the chapter on Wednesday and get it to me so that we can discuss the chapter and move on to developing the next one. So what we do is develop an outline for the chapter and make writing easier so that it's a manageable task. When they sit down, they can spend a couple of hours and actually get a chapter of their book written.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, actually. I mean, it's a very interesting process, and I purposely wanted you to outline it today because I think it's one that many people probably find daunting.
And breaking it down into bite-sized pieces is the key. people think they have, people know they have a book in them, but they don't know how to sit down and start to write it. And you don't know where you're going. You don't have a roadmap. So the system that I use is I say that a book is 50,000 words. You break that down into 25 chapters of 2,000 words each. So sit down, make a list of the 25 most influential items in your lifetime, the things that will become chapters in your book. You sit down and do that. You can probably do that in about 20 minutes, and you have your table of contents done. You're further to writing a book than you ever have been.
Than you have been, yeah, just by breaking it down. I find it very interesting because you say each chapter is about 2,000 words. So I do want to talk up front a little bit about system. But then 2,000 words can be a little bit daunting for people too. So really, what's the thing that happens from there?
More so than 2,000 words daunting, 2,000 words is limiting. People start to, and they got to write down everything they know to be the world expert on any topic. Well, that's not what a book is. A book is bringing out your ideas. So we limit it to 2,000 words in four component parts. Each one of these parts is about 500 words. We have an introduction where we set the stage. Tell the story. That's the second part, is the story part. That's what's actually happened to you. And the third part, and this is where it gets into a little more work, is the reason. Why did this make your list? What did this do to you? How did it change you? And the final part is the impact. And that's something that the reader can take away and use. I believe that you have to have something in each chapter that the reader can use as early as tomorrow. You've got an introduction, a story, reason, and impact.
So I think that's awesome. I've actually been through the process, and so I understand that. Why do people write books?
People write books for as many reasons as there are people, but the primary ones, the people that I work with, and I do not work with fiction, okay?
Nonfiction, no doubt.
Nonfiction. So it's business platforms. If they're consultants or speakers and they need a book for their business, that's probably most of what I do. Some of it is for corporate culture. They want to fast track. They want to give something to the younger people in their business. Some of them, it's leaving a legacy. And a very important reason that we don't always think of is cathartic. For some of them, it's healing.
They have to go through the thought process. Yeah. And I know that you have some stories around some people who have had some very traumatic or emotional moments in their life. So I think what we might do is we'll take a short break, and when we come back, maybe what we'll do is share one of those lethargic moments from one of your clients in one of the books published.
Give me a moment to think about which one we'll talk about.
And we'll bring it in. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Les Klecky today, and Les is a writing coach or writer's coach, if you wish. And just before the break, we were talking about the idea of healing, cathartic situations. So, you know, Les, I know that you've done some work with some people who have had some extremely sad stories in their lives. I've actually met a few of those people. Could you share maybe one of the books and one of the very hard stories that you've actually had to work on?
Well, one of the toughest ones for me, but it turned into a really happy ending, was the book is called Still Standing with Kevin Rempel. And Kevin had a tough go. Started out as a motorcycle jump artist, and in his first job, he had just bought a set of ramps, ready to go on the road, and in his first jump, the wind came up. He was inexperienced, obviously, and hits the ramp. He ends up as a paraplegic a result of the accident.
So major accident in that respect.
Major accident. But Kevin tells the story that when he hit the ramp, he was still concerned, and he's lying on the ground, and his friend came over who was videotaping, and all Kevin asked was, "Did you get it on tape?"
They got
it on tape.
I was wondering if he was going to say, "Is my motorcycle okay?" That's probably the second thing.
I think
he
knew the motorcycle was gone, but he was concerned about the tape. So, and to give a little more background, Kevin, only 2 years earlier, the first time that he went hunting with his dad, he was 14 years old, and the first time that he went hunting with his dad, his dad fell out of a tree stand and was a quadriplegic. So he was in a wheelchair, and now Kevin's mom is in a situation where both of the men in her life, her husband and her son, are in wheelchairs, and she has a very, very difficult road to hoe.
And that's all within a two-year period.
Within a two-year period.
So that's
period.
A significant life change. We'll call it the unexpected. You know, peaks, valleys, and detours, probably valley or detour.
Absolutely. And things went south for Kevin's dad. He couldn't handle the situation of, and I've never been in that situation. I don't know how someone handles it, but the situation of being a quadriplegic, and he eventually moved out of the house, split with Kevin's mom, and he ended up setting up a situation with one of his hunting rifles and could pull the trigger and committed suicide. So that was a sad note in the story. But to make it even worse, Kevin and his sister were called to the home and ended up having to clean up the result of that incident. So
they actually went up and from his suicide.
Well, they went down. He did it in the basement.
down. That's a horrific situation, having to clean up, I guess, let's say it, you know, a lot of blood and everything.
Absolutely.
You can imagine what graphically or visually
and
what it looked like.
Kevin tells a story.
Yes, I know.
He's straight up and he tells it straight ahead. I wouldn't say that this is a book for everyone. Yeah. But if you want to handle the truth, Still Standing is a great book, and Kevin speaks to high schools and works with young people in difficult situations to help them get through it. So he has turned this into something, and when he was in a wheelchair, he didn't have a focus in his life, and the people in therapy suggested that he get into a sport. He tried wheelchair basketball, wasn't interested in it, and then found sledge hockey and became a accomplished sledge hockey player for the Canadian national team, played in the Olympics, and is now a commentator at the last two Winter Olympics, has been a commentator on sledge hockey because he brings that experience. And they said that he wouldn't, but he has learned to walk again, which is
an amazing feat in itself. And is that why he's calling it Still Standing?
That's why he's calling it Still Standing. And just to
still
show
here.
You his attitude, the picture on the cover of the book is him standing on the seat of his Harley Davidson motorcycle.
Of course. Standing on the seat of his Harley. So you got to balance that out and everything too. So it'd be interesting to see how he's actually achieved that feat.
And he has. So
I actually met Kevin a few years ago. I think you introduced me. We were down in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Kevin was there, and you introduced me to him just after he published his book, or just before he published
the book.
I
think his book was just coming out at that time,
yeah.
And it's done fairly well because Kevin speaks to young people about
yes.
the problem that they might be having. And Kevin has turned it into a business. He takes the sledge hockey experience to businesses and uses it as a corporate team building event. So you bring in Kevin and he has two sets of jerseys and two sets of sleds so that you actually go through the experience and the dressing room thing, and then he breaks it down, and you experience the on-ice sledge hockey, and then he breaks it down to a team-building exercise afterwards. So, he's doing fairly well in the corporate world.
So that's really engaged. That total engagement and everything along that lines. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome, man.
And the key is that he did that with the buyout from his insurance money. That's how he got started in the business. He said he did not want to rely on his insurance from the accident. Took a buyout and started a business that he now makes a living with.
So again, there's another story there too about Still Standing, sort of overcoming the odds. This is what I hear this book is about. He's overcoming the odds, horrific odds, major accident by his dad, himself, and then a suicide, and then really turning that into like a silver lining type situation.
As you say, you've met him, and I stay in touch with Kevin. We probably speak about once a month or so just to stay in touch and help each other with the business aspect of what we do, because working alone, you got to stay in touch. touch with somebody.
That's very isolating. Maybe we should have a conversation about that at some point, just isolation. How do you overcome isolation? Have you done a book on that one yet?
Haven't yet, but for me, I overcome that by writing. I don't know what other people do, but I can sit down and write to get through those times.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I would love to hear you share a couple of more stories with the people you've worked with, or about the people you've worked with, or have worked with you in getting their book published. This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Les Klecky today. Les is a coach, particularly for writers or writer's coach, and we're talking about the interesting people that have worked with him or he has worked with and the stories they've told. The last segment, we were talking about a book called Still Standing from Kevin Rimpel. Great story if it's right for you to read. But Les, one of the people I know personally, I also know this person personally too, is a gentleman by the name of Tim Haig. And Tim and I become friends through some other organizations and stuff over the years. But Tim was originally the winner of the Canadian Amazing Race. And he has a book, too, called Perseverance that you helped him write.
Yes, and it was just released earlier this spring. And that's where you and I came up with the idea of getting together for this show. So it was good to see a lot of people at Tim's release. And
it was awesome. It was one of the best that I've seen attended in a long time.
I've been to a few book releases, yeah. And it is the biggest event that I have been to. It's great to see so many people. And people, you know, your listeners might remember Tim from winning the Amazing Race. But the other thing is that Tim has begun a foundation that deals with Parkinson's. And Tim suffers from Parkinson's, but he's not content to suffer. He's out there
trying to make a difference,
doing as many things as he can. And activity is what puts the disease at bay. So yeah. Tim's book, Perseverance, it was a pleasure to work with him because he's got so many great stories from that Amazing Race experience and just a positive man and great stories.
Yeah, and fantastic family and son, too. So it's the two Tims, you know, Tim Sr. and Tim Jr. when we talk about Amazing Race. But the book is not just, so I've read the book, so the book is not just about the Amazing Race. I mean, Perseverance is about his life. Can you share a little bit about the content or life inside the book?
Well, And that's going back to what we talked about earlier was the structure of a book. There's an introduction and a story and the reason and an impact in every chapter. So it's not just telling stories about his life. It's life lessons and what each one of those lessons, and they might be stories from The Amazing Race or from other parts of his life, but what he learned from them and what the reader can take away and use in their life so that you can benefit from the things that Tim Haig has done. And he speaks particularly about the people that he met on The Amazing Race and how he saw their difficult situation and he was able to overcome the challenges that he had when he thought he was tired.
Just to make sure we got the title down, it's Perseverance, the 7 Skills You Need to Survive, Thrive, and Accomplish More Than You Can Imagine by Tim Haig. Now, while you're saying that, we're doing radio right now, we're doing podcasts right now, and that sort of structure. So it just brought to mind time, right? There's a great story of Tim in the book around time and The Amazing Race. Do you recall the story at all?
Help me out. There was a lot of stories.
You know what? Yeah, no, you know, just what I can share. Maybe it just dumped into my mind. I think his clock wouldn't work or he lost his watch or something. And Amazing Race is all about you got to get there on time, man. And you're in big trouble.
Now it comes to mind, and everything went wrong. His phone didn't work, and the alarm clock in the hotel didn't work, and everything went wrong with his watches and that. And yeah, they did overcome that. And one of the part of that story is that his son came through, and one of the lessons that he talks about in the book is learning to rely on and to count on Tim Jr. And I think those of us that are parents, we have to learn about that. And Tim does a heck of a job of telling that lesson that sometimes those kids grow up and you can count on them as adults.
And yeah, and Tim Jr. sort of stepped up to the plate, so to speak. We want to use, a baseball analogy. You know, that's such a valuable lesson for parents to learn when you do have kids, because at some point in time, there's a change. And I just want to share that, too. I was with my oldest boy, Matthew, a few weeks ago, and he's now 30. And it's an amazing experience to sit there and have a conversation with them and then suddenly realize they're no longer a boy, but they're a man. And the relationship changes, and you rely on them on a different level.
You use the baseball analogy. My son is 30 as well, and the greatest moment for me was going back to when the Western Canada Summer Games were here a year ago, and he took his dad to work. My son is now a baseball scout, and he took me along when he was going to scout kids at the Western Canada Summer Games, and I had a heck of a day in Take Your Dad to Work Day, hanging out with baseball scouts.
How awesome would that be? You know, so who knows? My son works in the engineering world, so maybe I get a day of hanging out with engineers. Might work.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Might work. Now, I also know through talking to you that you did some work with either Richard Branson, a Virgin, or one of his staff member or something.
Richard Branson's right-hand woman. She was his assistant in London and spent several years in the Virgin Empire. And so when he was starting Virgin South Africa, he sent Carolyn Ravenall to South Africa, and she went from zero to operating airline in 6 months. Typically, that takes about 18 months to set up an airline. Carolyn did it in 6 months, and was a part of the corporate world. So her stories about writing or about working for Richard Branson and the things that he did, like the stunts that we see in the news, are not stunts. She says that's everyday life with Branson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But she did her time and got the airline up and running, and then left the corporate world and went to a very off-of-the-grid type of lifestyle, and in fact joined a number of secret societies and spent time like that. And
an example of a secret society, or can we even talk about them? They're so secret.
Well, we'd have to be really quiet, but we could say the Knights of Templar.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
She was a member of some of those things, and a number of them, actually. And working with her on the book, I said, and if the client wants to do it, I'll work with them. But when we sent that to the editor, I said to her editor that I don't think this book is going to go anywhere. Mm. This is just too woo-woo and off of the wall.
Yeah.
The editor said, no, that's what the world wants right now. And in fact, Carolyn Ravenall, her book is very successful. And she has a movie deal in India to turn the book into an actual movie. So I can help people write their book. I cannot judge which one is going to go big time and which is not.
Did we mention what the title of that book is?
Searching.
So the book is called Searching. So in essence, what you just told me is that she left the corporate world and started the search for a new life. So there must be something that happened in that. We talk about cathartic moments within people's lives, sort of that transition from the Richard Branson Virgin Empire Airlines into a off-the-grid life, into discovering something new about yourself.
And through the course of her book, the pendulum has swung from both extremes, the corporate world to the off-of-the-grid, and now she's back sort of in the middle and leading quite a content, happy life back in southern England.
Maybe that's actually a good spot to start our next segment. Let's talk about the people you've worked with, and is it always about the extremes? You know, like it sounds to me like there's always something in there that's an extreme that's happened in these personal books. This is Richard Lenn for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Les Klecky And just before the break, I was talking about the extremes, you know, extremes of life. And I was sort of wondering, I mean, you're telling stories about Tim Haig, Parkinson's, Canadian Amazing Race, and you're talking about Kevin Rempel and Still Standing. I mean, these are all key stories. And even the individual from former Virgin Records, I don't remember, Virgin Airlines, what was her name again?
Carolyn Ravenhall.
Kevin Ravenhall. But is everything always about the extremes? Like, is there some stuff that gets into like just key relationships and things you can do? Like, do you have any examples like that?
Lots of stories like that. And as a matter of fact, most of the books that I help people with are about that. As your quote at the beginning about George Orwell writes a book to get, or wrote books to get to the truth. So often it's the ordinary things in life, and writing a book and going through this exercise helps you think about the importance of those things, as we talked about seeing our sons grow up and the importance of doing things with our kids and seeing the value in them later on. A lot of writing books with the people that I work with is realizing the value in what can often be passed off as an everyday situation.
So I know some of the titles. I mean, I know, like, for example, Tough Cookies. I know Dating Muse. What is Dating Muse about? Like, that's got to be, obviously, it's got to be about dating, but good stories, bad stories, who's it for?
Yes. Good stories, bad stories. Esme St. James is from California, contacted me through a mutual friend. She had just gone through a difficult breakup and wanted to write a book to help men date.
Oh,
so
yeah,
And so going through this exercise, she has some great stories about dates and some stories that were just horrific. And she brings in some internet dating and meeting on these sites, how some of the things don't work. But It's a handbook to help guys know what women like and what they find an absolute deal breaker.
So now we have to go there, and I'm hoping you remember one of the stories of what women like, or maybe what's a deal breaker. Can you share a story? Well, am I going to get lucky?
She starts out with very simple, like, personal grooming, like having a shower and those kind of things. And she says one of the things that she really likes, or that, and she thinks most women appreciate, is a guy that shows some initiative. One of the things that she says is an absolute deal breaker is when a guy shows up for a date and says, well, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go for supper? And has no ideas.
No plans.
She says, show me that you thought about it and that you have some ideas and that you know where you want to take me for supper and show me a part of your life. She says that that's also important, that you've thought about planning, but that you also want to show her an aspect of your life.
And, you know, that's quite an interesting, because showing some initiative, because I wonder, now I'm not a dating man, but I'm married. I do have to take my wife out on dates. It's partly why we're still married, right? And I know it drives her nuts if I don't pre-think the date.
Wow.
Right? So showing initiative, right? It's sort of like, you know, well, we could do this or this or this. So I'm hoping that when she looks at it, it's not like, well, we can just do this one thing. Here are two options. Which would you prefer, right? So that's
there's a lot of hints like that Esme uses. Now, when you talk about initiative, and I said that she just went through a difficult breakup, and typically when I work with a person, we write a chapter a week. So as you know, you get your manuscript done in about 6 months.
Yeah.
Esme had a little more time, and so we went at it quite intensely, and we wrote 3 chapters a week. She wrote her book in a month.
Mm.
We
mm.
wrote 3 chapters a week on this topic.
Yeah.
And of course, it went to editing and that afterwards, but the manuscript was done in that intense a time.
Before we go to the next piece, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Pretty easy. It's Les the Book Coach Les.thebookcoach@gmail.com.
Les.thebookcoach@gmail.com. And maybe we'll bring that up again in later segments. I was know another title that I'm interested in too. There's another one called Tough Cookies. And I want to know something about that book about the artist or the author, and a little bit about what that's all about.
You know what? Calling Janella an artist is not a misnomer.
Okay. I don't know her. So
she is. She's a social worker by trade. But Tough Cookies is about having tough people to deal with. And how do you deal with those kind of people in the workplace, in personal relationships? And she breaks it down so that you can recognize cookies and recognize people as a type of cookies that they represent. So as you can imagine, the ginger snaps are hotheads that fly off, and 30 seconds later, they're okay.
They're okay. Okay. So basically what she's doing is she's taking different type of cookies like chocolate chip or oatmeal cookies or ginger snaps. I don't know. So you tell me.
Absolutely right. So she goes through the book describing these type of people and representing them with cookie names, so that now when you meet someone like that, you can say, okay, this is a ginger snap, or this is an Oreo. Here's what I got to get to the soft part in the center. And you can adjust your way of dealing with them to a system that works with them. Is her book successful? You bet, because we've started the next one, which is called Cleaning Up the Crumbs.
Cleaning Up the Crumbs. These are hilarious. I love the titles, right? I mean, it's those unexpected titles where you get like Cleaning Up the Crumbs. So what's Cleaning Up the Crumbs? Tell us a little bit about the next one.
Is in her first book, she explains the relationships and how you deal with these people, but not everything works out. And sometimes you have to deal with situations after the fact. So that's where we're going next. And who knows? There might be a series, there might be a trilogy here.
Yeah, there could be. I was just thinking there might be a trilogy there too. Trilogy. Just use the word thrill. But I can also see a situation where there might be a whole bunch of recipe books for her too.
And yes, we've talked about it. Including a recipe at the end of each chapter for ginger snaps or oatmeal raisin cookies, something like that. Because that's part of what she does in her book is presented in a lighthearted way. And it's easier to remember. If you learn and if you're laughing when you learn, there's much more potential for it to stay with you. So it's a positive thing when you're reading a book. Like, who's going to pick up a book about, 10 steps to dealing with difficult people? Yeah. You could use that title for crowd dispersal. That's going to scare people. Yeah. The cookie book, it just sounds interesting. Well, so you want to pick it up, you want to read it, positive frame.
It's like the soup books and that too, right? The same type of concept or idea, you know, and I don't want to go too far into those, but you know, those kind of things. Les, what a show we've been having. You're always awesome to have on, when I even just hanging out with you sometimes or we connect by Skype or by phone and just chat for a while. Always awesome. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what might it be?
You have a book in you. Take the time to really think about writing it, and don't worry about marketing. It doesn't have to be a financial success. You can have a positive experience by getting to the truth, as George Orwell said at the beginning of this show.
Awesome. Connecting with you again, what was that email address again?
Les.thebookcoach@gmail.com.
Can't get any easier than that, Les.thebookcoach@gmail.com. Awesome. Thank you, Les, for joining me today. I really appreciate it, taking the time to come into the big city to do this. It's great. You're a good man. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you do have a book in you, hey, here's an opportunity. Maybe you can get it pen to paper, so to speak. I know you probably put it on computer, but pen to paper works. And also, I want you to remember a few things. Well, first of all, if you got a thought, a question, an idea, richard@setforsuccess.ca. I will respond to you. And do remember to do your best. Invest in the success of others and make your journey count.